In Galatians 4 and 6, I want to notice the scripture there. We'd like the Lord to bless this morning and help us. Thinking about a few thoughts, I feel like the Lord, in the middle of the night, the other night, I woke up and I'd been sleeping so good and I was ready to sleep some more. And the Lord started talking to me and I was like, it's time to get up. So there was a little time there, a while. And in Galatians 4 and 6, it says, "And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." I know today is a special day set aside by the world, Father's Day. I don't necessarily feel like we have to have a Father's Day message, but that's what I believe the Lord gave us. So I want to share some thoughts with you this morning about fathers and about the Lord. He has thankfully given us a perfect example that we can follow, though we may not have had a perfect example. None of us had a perfect example of a father with no misjudgments or anything like that. But we've had some very loving fathers, of course, and thankful for it. But I want to think about this relationship that God wants to have with His sons and with His children. And hopefully, maybe we can just peer in a little bit into God's mind and into His thoughts. You know, many times, quite a few times in the scripture, it mentions God as a father, and it relates it to something that we ourselves can comprehend, a father. We recognize that. And so it says here that God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. I want to look over at Mark 14 and 36 at where the Lord was there. Mark 14 and 36. And the Lord said here, Abba, and He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto Thee. Take away this cup from me, nevertheless, not what I will, but what Thou wilt. This word, Abba, Father, it's both means Father. The first word, Abba, is a Syriac word. The second word is a Greek word. And so they many times mixed the languages some back there. And we find the Lord here at this very sorrowful time crying out to His Father, Lord, Father. That's that first Abba means Lord. The second Father means Father. It's relating a connection that a son has to a father, a loving connection there. And so here we find the Lord crying out, Father, Lord. And many times people see God as Lord. They see Him as God in heaven, as something distant. But, you know, I'm glad that the Lord Himself put this together, because He not only is our Lord, He's our Father. That puts it in a whole different light. And so when we see the example that God gave of a father, whether we have a father like that or not, He gave us a perfect example that we could be a father like that as young men. That we can come on, that we can learn what a real father is supposed to be like. And so we see here what the Lord Himself yields to God in the way of respect. And we also see the affection that He has. And I want to talk a little bit about that this morning, about the affection that there is supposed to be, and that we want to learn these things, not because we've always seen them in our own home, but because we've learned them from the perfect pattern that is set before us today, that we might not make the mistakes that our father maybe made. And I had a good father. But, you know, it says here, Abba, Father. And I want us to think a little more. In Psalms 103 and 12 to 14, I want to look at a couple of verses here that's so telling about a father's thoughts. As far as the east is from the west, Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord, the heavenly Father, pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. You know, today the Lord knows who we are. He sees us for what we are. He might see us in our sinful condition, and we haven't even been saved yet, and yet the Lord pities us, and yet he sent his own son for us. And so it says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. If we really want this pity in its fullness, this compassion is what it's talking about. So the Lord is compassionate toward those that fear him. Do you know that that is the proper relationship between a godly man and his sons or his daughters? A relationship where they feel that affection. Jesus cried out, Abba, Father, not just Lord, but he also cried out, Father. He had that kind of connection with the Lord. I hope that we have that kind of connection with the Lord today. I hope that when we cry out to God, that we not only cry out to God as our Lord, but we cry out to him as our Father. That affectionate, loving one that we turn to when Jesus, we read the scripture where here he was in the throes of death, ready to be offered. Here he was in trouble physically. And he cries out, Lord, my Father. That's what he was saying. Some people will say that means daddy. That's probably not so far off. Father, that relationship between us and a father that is very, very necessary in life today, an affectionate way of calling him Father. In Titus 3 and 3 to 7, and I want to read these scriptures because you know what this does for us? It tells us what we're supposed to be looking for ourselves. Because there are men, and I've known of some, there are men that believe that to be father means this enormous, overpowering figure that is Lord. And that's not the proper rendition of a father, is it? That's not what God's wanting us to be. I know a man that told me about his grandfather, and when his son turned 16 years old, he just beat him up. He just said, I wanted to show little bull what big bull was like or something. That was his 16th birthday present. And that was his mind of a father. There's a lot of warped ideas of it today. But I will tell you, we have this precious word. And I thank God for it this morning. We have this example. And so when we see fathers like this, you know what's happened? Somebody has learned from the Lord. Somebody has learned maybe something they didn't get as a child. Do you know God wants to give that to us today? Now in Titus 3:3, listen to this. I love the depiction of the Lord, of our Father. 3 to 7. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures. Anybody in here ever been there? Living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. This is our Heavenly Father now. After the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Wow, what words, what gracious words this morning that the Scriptures speak of Him after the kindness and the love. You know, men are supposed to be strong. They are. Even clear back in the Garden of Eden, do you know that God held Adam very responsible for things that happened back there? Yes, Eve was deceived in the transgression, but I will tell you, He held Adam responsible. Adam was supposed to be strong. And do you know this morning, the Lord is looking for some men, young men, that will begin to pattern themselves after the Lord, that will begin to be strong, that will be able to resist the enemy, that will be able to resist temptation, that will find the grace of God, that will become men of kindness and mercy and love, and yet at the same time, not jellyfish, but men of strength. Men that are able to go to work when they are sick. Yes, when they're sick sometimes. How many times have we done it, men? And I'm not saying the ladies don't sometimes, but I will tell you, sometimes you have to go, don't you? That's what a man does. I've been a carpenter many years. I will tell you, I've hit my finger pretty hard a few times and done some things like that. We don't quit, do we? We learn to be men. Even to the women, the Scripture says, quit you like men. That's because that symbolizes strength. Let's don't fall into the element of thought that is in today's society. The thinking patterns of degrading men, making men more womanly. You know what? It's a graceful thing for a woman to be a woman. It's a godly thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's a gift to the world that raises our next generation, that blesses our society. But I will tell you, men have a place that God gave them that only they can fill. And so, in a home, let's settle it in our hearts. I'm going to be the man in my home. I'm going to be there through the thick and the thin, when I don't like things and when I do. When things are tough going and the bills are hard to pay, I'm still going to be there. And yes, I'm going to work more than 8 hours a day and more than 5 days a week if I have to. That's what men do, isn't it? So when we look at our Heavenly Father, He's a God of strength. And He wants to give us strength this morning. He wants to make us men. He's a kind, merciful, compassionate Father. That's what our children should know us to be. We know we make mistakes. We have to go back and say, I'm sorry. I wish we never made mistakes, but I don't know any men that'll tell you they haven't made some mistakes. And we try our best to do it right. But you know what? The Lord is the one that corrects us, isn't He? He helps us to know if we learn of Him. And He tells us to come. Come and learn of Me. I want to read one more place there in Romans 8 and 15, where we find again this Abba Father. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. I want to read just a little bit of what Clark said concerning that. He said, concerning the part that says, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. Ye are brought into the family of God by adoption. And the agent that brought you into this family is the Holy Spirit. And this very Spirit continues to witness to you the grace in which ye stand by enabling you to call God your Father with the utmost filial confidence and affection. Filial means as a son to a father, that relationship there. With the utmost confidence and affection. And this morning, I've found it to be so, folks. Isn't the Lord that way today? Can we not have a relationship with Him like that? And should we not expect that with our own children? It is many times by our own mistakes that we don't have that. Let's work on that, that we have that, that we can be talked to, be strong and yet compassionate and tender and kind and all those things. The Lord help us today. You know, the Lord's Prayer starts off by saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I love that. I love that, the way that says that. Hallowed be thy name. That indicates to me so much more than just repeating some words. There's something there that in my mind, we come before the Father, and this has become so much more real to me lately. Our Father, God is there. He's real. He loves for us to come to Him. God is, He has thoughts concerning you and me. He has ideas about our life. He's the creator of the universe. And yet, He wants to create in our life too. And should we not come to Him? Father, oh, Abba, Father, Lord, my Father, can I approach you this morning? And would you hear my cry? Would you give me the wisdom that I need so bad? Would you help me to know how to fix if I haven't had wisdom? Lord, work in our lives. You know, when you come to a father like that, that has compassion and love for you, isn't that reassuring? Oh, Lord, teach us your ways. Show us how to be that kind of men. Show us how, it's not so hard to figure out how to be brazenly tough in the business world and in on our jobs and push through things. That's comes natural, doesn't it? But to be kind, to be tender, to be able to be spoken to be easy to be approached, that comes by work on ourselves, doesn't it? The Lord help us this morning. We want to approach the Lord not only with submission, but out of love and honor and respect. Think about what the Scripture says in 1 John 3:1. And let's be challenged by it. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Wow. Do you know God didn't have to call us His sons? He could have said, you servants. That would have been okay. That would have been a pretty high calling. But He didn't do that. He said, my son. He said, what manner, the Scripture says, of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. We don't need to expect that because we're a son of God, that everything's going to go perfect. They crucified Jesus. And for that very reason, we're a son. We're a son. We're a brother. We're an heir to that same kingdom. And we're going to experience some of the same things. I want to look at a little more full picture of the Father this morning. Hebrews 12 and 6. These are little things that many of us, these are principles that many of us take for granted. It's like, well, we all know that. No, we don't all know it. The world doesn't know it. The high society doesn't know it. But listen to what it says here. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Is there any son that the Father doesn't chasten? Is there any son that sometimes don't get a whipping? He says here, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Then you're not legitimate children. You know, the Lord, whom he loves, he chastens. Young folks, let's get this down in our hearts today. Whom he loves, he chastens. Now, in the world, who may be a father that is warped, instead of loving and chastening, there might be hatred and beating and torment and abuse and all those kind of things. That doesn't, all abuse doesn't exist in the heart of a true father. Do you know that God is looking for men to be men? That means like our Father. Fathers to be like our Father, compassionate and kind, gentle, but willing to wield the punishment when necessary. Do you know that's what, that doesn't make children that are warped. That makes children that are very much, very able and capable to go out into the world and do their work and have a sound mind and have a sound system within them when it's worked that way. What happens is in the world, people behold all of this abuse. It's because there's something missing in the whole thing. And the Lord's looking for us to be true fathers today. And I just want to encourage you young folks, whether we've seen it or not, let's grow up to be men like this. Men of strength, men of character, men who can be touched with the feeling of somebody else's infirmity, men who have compassion, men who are kind and just. That makes a healthy atmosphere for children to prosper in that kind of atmosphere. God help us today. Lord, open your heavens and teach us your ways and show us your paths. Open our hearts where we've been trained, however we've been trained, and we get saved. The day we get saved, that's all we've really known, is whatever we've been trained. But from that time on, the Lord wants to begin to retrain. He wants to begin to take things out of our mind that's been there, conceptions of what it means to be a man, and here is these hard men that can't cry, all those kind of things. He wants to take all those misconceptions and start working with them and start retraining us and making us into a father. I've seen this kind of thing happen with my own eyes. Somebody come along that didn't have a chance, seemed like. They came from behind, no training of any good kind to speak of. And the Lord get a hold of their hearts and they begin to learn and feed and change and begin to be that perfect one that is, wow, how could that happen? Rise above those that were trained sometimes. You know, that can happen, can't it? But it comes from us learning of the Father. We come to Him and we say, Father, Lord, is it lowering God any to say, Daddy? I'm talking about that filial son-to-father affection. We come to Him realizing His affection for us. realizing how much He cares for you and me. And we come to Him in that way, and He says, you come. You need wisdom? I'll tell you what, I'll give a bunch of it to you. I'll give you more than you need. And I won't even get after you for not having it. Because I already know your frame. I know you were made of dust. I made you. I know about all of that. But I'll tell you what, if you'll come to me, I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest from all those things that trouble you, and I'll change you. That's the promise of the Lord, isn't it, today? Oh, the Lord help us today that we are strong enough to provide an example, a good example for them to follow, for our sons and our daughters to follow, strong enough to correct them and chasten them when they need it. Not talking about abuse. Talking about correction that comes from a loving hand that would do nothing to hurt and would be so hurt if they did. Talking about strong enough to have compassion. Strong enough to forgive when it's needed. What did the Lord give us? This parable He gave us about the father that had a son. And the son said, give me my portion. And he took his portion and he went out in the world and he blew it in the most disgusting and dishonorable way. And he landed up, as we know it always happens, he climbed Fool's Hill, and when he got to the top and slid down to the bottom of everything and was eating corn husks trying to fill himself. What did the father do? He came back. And what was in the father's heart all along? Oh, every day. I can see that father. Every day. When is my son coming back? I wonder how he is. Where is he? God, you see him? Is he still alive? Help him to return. That's the kind of father we serve. So when we find ourselves in whatever place we find ourselves, let's know that God, our Father, not just Abba, not just Lord, but Father, He's waiting for you and me. He's looking for us. He's looking down the road. He's talking. He's sending His Spirit after you and me. Oh, the Lord wants. He has good things in mind for us. I know the things. What's the scripture say there in Lamentations 3? I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of good, peace, and not of evil, something to that effect. You know that's in the mind of the Father today. And He's wanting to convey those things. And He wants us to come to Him. And He wants us to know Him not only as Lord, but as Father today. Oh, the Lord help us. In 1 John 2 and 14... we're all real familiar with these scriptures here. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Do you know the time is now for the young men to develop strength in the Lord? The time is now. When you get in the midst of everything, it's hard to start right there. It's harder than it is now, young folks. I want to encourage all of us today. Get some sights out there. That's what I want to be. I want to be that kind of father. I want to live a life like that. I want to give myself to the work of God, to His will. I want to overcome myself. I want to be the kind of person that is honorable. Is there anything wrong with that? I'm not talking about the honor of the world. I'm talking about honorable, respectable. Something that brings our children to want to respect us. Those things are not gotten easy. We do a lot of humbling, don't we? We do a lot of pleading with God for help for ourselves. We look to the Lord. We long for His help. And I will tell you, When we allow God to work in our lives like that, what changes it makes in our lives. What good changes it makes. So he said, I've written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. Written unto you, young men. I hate to even mess a thought up like this with this, but I saw a man, a womanly looking man. And I think he had San Francisco on his shirt. And he said, where the boys are pretty and the women are strong. And that makes my heart cry. Because I know that kind of society doesn't operate well. That's backwards to the way God made it. God help us today, men, boys, to know the Word of God, to know the plan of God, and to let it work in our lives. Lord, yes, I want to be a man of compassion and kindness and gentleness. And at the same time, I want to be strong enough to face the elements and the briars and the thorns and the black thumbnails and all the things that happen and keep on working and keep on going, keep on supplying as my job is to supply. I know that's not politically correct today, but I want to tell you something. It's biblically correct, and it'll stand the test of time when the other will not this morning. There'll be a time when this time is past, and the world will see it if it stands in retrospect. And when they see it, it's going to be a disgrace to this society. I think about along with all of those things, we find so many abuses and so many things going on. I want to look at Ephesians 6 and 1. We've heard this, haven't we? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Do you know that this is the God of heaven that wrote this manual? This is the God of heaven that wrote this guidebook. And he said, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, he didn't say if they tell you to do something wrong. He said in the Lord. If a parent ever tells us to do wickedness, we should never do that for any cause or reason. But he says, honor thy father and thy mother. It's a commandment with promise from the Lord that he will give you favor. Did you know that? And so it says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. That means honor them. It doesn't say only the good. It says, honor your father and mother. I want to tell you something. It'll be good to us. It'll be good for us to have honored our father and mother, whatever they are like today. It builds character within us simply because they're our father, they're our mother. And the Lord said, honor them. And that means more than just lip service. That means when they're old, that we help take care of them. And that we watch after them, just like they watched after us. That's part of it. And the Lord even addressed that, did he not? In his word, where he said that you say it is Corban. And we find they were giving a gift and not taking care of their parents. And I just want to feed us on the word today. All across the spectrum of the word of God, it sets things in place, doesn't it? Sets things in order for things to be right. It takes care of everyone today. So the Lord help us. He is an all-wise God. We cannot improve. God's way is perfect, the scripture says, and it is today. We hope we don't have to make it prove it to us in a negative sense. Honor, respect, love. I want to look at a father in Genesis 18 and see what God said. This is Genesis 18 and 17 of Abraham. I love this scripture. I love the connotation that God knew Abraham. He knew his very heart. He knew Abraham from inside out. And he said, and the Lord said, shall I hide this thing? Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. You know, this morning, the Lord knew that Abraham, he said, I know him, that he's going to command his household after him. I believe that he was speaking of a relationship that Abraham had with his children, that he taught them about God. And he taught them the fear of the Lord. And he taught them respect and love. And he had to have loved his children to have this kind of, you know, he said, I know him. He's going to command. Do you know that generations after Abraham, they still looked to the Lord? And I know they made a lot of errors too. But you know, this morning, I believe we have an awesome opportunity as fathers to have upon our posterity an effect. And I know that we cannot choose life for every person. They have to choose that themselves. But there is things that we can do in our homes and ways that we can teach our children the fear of the Lord, putting him first always. Do you know what that makes our children want to do? You know that when we disregard the scriptures, when we speak evil of the people of God or evil of the scriptures, do you know that our children do that too? They'll just start doing that, won't they? We all know that's true. But do you know, this morning, we have an awesome opportunity. The Lord help us to see a vision out there yonder. I want to make that mark. And I want to try. I'm going to do my best. And then I'll have to give it to the Lord after that this morning. What an awesome opportunity we have. A place to impact a family and a society that only a father can do. Many times, it brings glory to God and it brings welfare to man. I want to read now, getting toward the end here, but I want to look at Deuteronomy. And we've all heard these scriptures. Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, 1 through 12. And look at what the Lord gave as admonition to the parents. He said, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Now, you know, the first thing we have to do is to love the Lord ourselves like that. That's not something that we can take our children and hope they'll do it when we won't. Somebody has to get a hold of this, don't they? Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Do you know the Lord promises a good land? You know he promises some things, a land that flows with milk and honey. Now we consider that today as a sanctified experience. Do you know if we're going to want our children to consecrate their lives to the Lord? Because that's the only way you're going to be sanctified. That's what it means. And then the Lord blesses that with his Holy Spirit. But do you know, this morning, we're going to have to enter in ourselves. And so when we look at Father, this is the one we're following. Teach us your ways. This is his words. So we want to be taught by his ways? Here we go. Let's start in verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee. Listen to those promises. Starting in 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. That don't come accidentally. That comes when we give it all we have. Lord, I want you to have your way in everything in my life. Do you know that's the only way this thing works this morning? And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Now he's fixing to tell us about teaching our future generations. But first he says it needs to be in your heart. And so I thank God for our fathers. As I said a while ago before we got up here, I will tell you, when I listened Wednesday night to all those testimonies, I was basking in that. I thought, these godly men, these men here giving testimony of what the Lord is in their life. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. What an opportunity God gave us as fathers. We're with them we're with them a lot, aren't we? Every day, practically, we're with them several hours, maybe a lot. And so he said here, you teach these things diligently unto them. When you're sitting in your house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, you constantly see examples for them. You know, I'm not talking about overbearing, but it's just a part of our life, isn't it? What a privilege God has given to us to be able to impact the next generation. And folks, if the world ever needed it, they need it now. When thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Good time for family worship. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. Do you know that these things is just kind of what happens? This sounds pretty good, doesn't it? He said, I'm going to give all of this to you. And when you get all of this, then don't forget, and you have all those blessings, don't forget me. Because I gave them to you. Do you know that when you serve the Lord like that, there are many blessings that come with that. Amen. The blessing of the Lord, the scripture says, it maketh rich. Does it not this morning? And you fathers, this is Ephesians 6 and 4. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I want to read just a little of Clark there too. And I know I'm reading several places this morning of Clark's. I think it's worthwhile here. A command addressed particularly to fathers says, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up. Because they are at the head of the family, and its government especially committed to them. The object of the apostle here is to show parents that their commands should be such as that they can be easily obeyed, or such as are entirely reasonable and proper. You know, if we weren't raised in that way, we have to learn that, don't we? So many things we have to learn. In the nurture, The word used here means training of a child. Hence, education, instruction, discipline. Here it means that they are to train up their children in such a manner as the Lord approves. That is, they are to educate them for virtue and religion. The word admonition, Clark says, means literally a putting in mind. This is a little bit of a long reading, but I'm going to finish with this. Then, the word admonition, a putting in mind, then warning, admonition, instruction. The sense here is that they were to put them in mind of the Lord, of His existence, perfections, law, and claims on their hearts and lives. This command is positive and is in accordance with all the requirements of the Bible on the subject. No one can doubt that the Bible enjoins on parents the duty of endeavoring to train up their children in the ways of religion and of making it the grand purpose of this life to prepare them for heaven. It has been often objected. Now, I have heard this objection personally. It has been often objected that children should be left on religious subjects to form their own opinions when they are able to judge for themselves. Infidels and irreligious people always oppose or neglect the duty here enjoined. And the plea commonly is that to teach religion to children is to make them prejudiced, to destroy their independence of mind, and to prevent their judging as impartially on so important a subject as they ought to. In reply to this, and in defense of the requirements of the Bible on the subject, we may remark, one, that to suffer a child to grow up without any instruction in religion is about the same as to suffer a garden to lie without any culture. Such a garden would soon be overrun with weeds and briars and thorns, but not sooner or more certainly than the mind of a child would. And I'm skipping quite a bit, but number four says, to inculcate the truths of religion is not to make the mind narrow, prejudiced, and indisposed to follow the truth, to perceive the truth. Religion makes the mind candid, conscientious, open to conviction, ready to follow the truth. Superstition, bigotry, infidelity, and all error and falsehood make the mind narrow and prejudiced. We want to remember these things. If a man, number five, if a man does not teach his children truth, others will teach them error. The young skeptic that the child meets in the street, the artful infidel, the hater of God, the unprincipled stranger will teach the child. But is it not better for a parent to teach his child the truth than for a stranger to teach him error? I want to finish with that. And I want to challenge us as fathers today. I thank God for you so much. I thank God for our fathers that fear Him, that love Him, that make Him first in their lives, that try to train their children up in the things of God. I hope we recognize what an opportunity we have. What an opportunity we have if we don't get sidetracked on our own ambitions and forget that God-given responsibility that a father has. The Lord bless each one of us today and give us the courage to be men. To be men of God, to be teachers of truth, to be leaders in our home, leaders of righteousness, leaders in reading the Bible. I hope our children can see us first thing in the morning reading our Bibles, studying, on our knees praying. I hope they can see that. I hope we set that as a pattern in our life. Do you know that that's worthwhile? And the riches that we read of kind of just commonly come, and I'm not talking money, they commonly come to that kind of a life. The Lord bless each one of us. Amen.